We're starting from the beginning today of digital marketing to give you an introduction to digital marketing, why it is so important, and why being in front of and your customers is critical to the growth of your business. And then we're going to touch on one of the very first steps to starting your journey of digital marketing and through your Google Business profile. Many of you have gotten your feet wet, grown up, and been in this whole digital space where, well, Google Business profile has been called by Google many different things. Most recently, before this newest change, it's been called Google My Business. They've recently changed the name again to your Google Business profile, and we're going to kind of dive deep into the Google Business profile, what it is, how to set it up, why it's important to your business, and how to use it as a tool to consistently drive new clients to your business. So that is what our plan is today on our time together. Again, Katie mentioned that if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to raise your hand or speak up. We're happy to discuss them. If it's a question that we can answer really quickly, that's maybe potentially a little off topic or going to be discussed in depth in another training, we may just explain that off a little bit and maybe meet with you at a different time, or we'll let you know when that's coming up. But if it pertains to Google My Business profile, we definitely want to encourage you to ask those questions. There we go. So Katie gave you a little brief history, a lesson about our company. So we won't spend a whole lot of time about who we are and where we come from. But I think it is important to understand that we are a full service digital marketing company, that we specialize. Our clients are all in the home service industry, just like each of you are. So we've talked about that. So this concept of reach, capture, and convert is a critical piece to understand when it comes to all of your marketing, not necessarily just your digital marketing and how people find you online, but everything within the marketing realm falls under one of or multiples of this concept of how do we reach, capture, and then convert our potential customers into people who pay us money and help us grow our business. And so there's other many factors that we'll talk about on how we specifically reach our competitors, or excuse me, our customers, and then what piece of this funnel are we using to capture them, and then ultimately where does conversion happen, and where are the touch points in your strategy that helps conversion take place? Because really, the other two, while are critically important, we've got to be able to get in front of people, got to grab their attention, but ultimately it's important that we convert the right people at the right time to our customers who want to hire us and pay us money to grow our companies. So we'll touch on this each and every time and talk about the different systems that the different strategies and where they fall into this reach, capture, and convert puzzle, so to speak, in your whole digital strategy.
It's important too, as you're setting goals with the different tactics you're using in your digital, to understand, hey, is this a reach tool that I'm using, or is this a capture tool, right? And that helps you have some realistic expectations of where you're putting your money, where you're putting your resources, where you're putting your time. Because if you're saying, hey, you know what, I need my phone to ring like right now, and you're maybe using a tactic that's more of a reach one, that helps you understand, hey, is this a realistic goal? What should my expectations be? How is this best used to reach, to capture, or convert?
And in the realm of digital marketing, how does this play a role in the lives of your customers? Potentially, this screen looks familiar to all of us, right?
Does it look like you? What is the first thing you do in the morning? Anybody guilty? I am.
That's right. Me too. Our smartphones, quite literally, in many cases, are the last thing we see before we close our eyes at night. And it's the first thing we interact with and then we see in the morning when we wake up. I know at the very least, every single night I talk to Siri and I tell her to set me an alarm for the next morning. And every morning I have to, she wakes me up and I have to, you know, I start my day with my phone each and every day. And so do our customers. We definitely live in a world where we are attached to and reliant on, dependent on these things called smartphones. We're dependent on this digital world that we live in.
Eric, I love that you talk like about Siri, like she's your best friend or something. Like every night I talk to Siri, I say something nice.
What you didn't see is me picking her up and putting her over to the side and thinking about how to say what I was saying without her answering me.
So, it's true, right? It's become such a part of our lives. And this affects because our phones and our customers' phones are always with them. It has changed marketing, right? It has changed, number one, our opportunities to be in front of people. And number two, it's changed how demanding consumers are when they want something, when they want to find something, when they want to find your service, how demanding they've really become. And this is the reason why, because 24/7, palm of our hands, we have information ready for us.
You think about it, like it used to be like, even in the early days of Google, if I had a question, maybe if I was, you know, in bed or I was just getting out of bed and I had a question, I was like, oh, I need to find some information about that. I would get up, probably tinker around, and then I would go and find my computer, log in and do some search when I have some time to do it. Not
if
anymore.
You remember.
It's so ingrained in me now. We just pick up our phones instantly. And so we live really in a world of distraction, but not just us, but our customers as well too. Do you want to take this? Do you want me to take it, Katie?
Well, I mean, this kind of goes to what we're saying, right? But 80%, 87% of smartphone owners turn to search when they need something. So the first thing I do is not, you know, call my neighbor. Right. That might be something I do when I need some advice or I need some help. But the first thing we do, 80%, 87%, we use our phones. Your basement floods, you're on your phone. Everything we need, it's our go-to resource for information.
You know, interesting you said that about your neighbor. As I was thinking about that, it's like I don't even ask my neighbors or my friends about stuff until after I've done something online now, like until after I've at least looked something up on online anymore. So it's like in almost every case, we go to our phones first and then we look for other answers to compile all of the data that we're trying to accomplish. And
what that's like awesome as marketers, right? Like it is so amazing as marketers to know you can be right in front of somebody right the very minute they need you. Like that's gold to be able to do that. And so that's exciting. Well,
and it's the beautiful thing about digital is that we can be, like we literally can be in front of our customers at the exact times that they are needing our services. And in the age of connectivity that we live in, it's never been more important to be in front of them than it is right now.
Yeah. Tom says in here, in the chat, he says word of mouth is now word of mouse, right? That's funny. And he says, how do mom groups fit in? Right. So think about this, right? Where we used to go for friends, for information, even if I hear something from a group of friends that I think is valuable, I'm going to go check online, right? So it goes two ways. I'm either going to check online and then ask friends, or I'm going to hear from friends and then check online. And so it's just changed. It's changed how we do stuff. And it's important to understand this as we jump into the marketing, to understand what is our consumer's behavior? What are they thinking? Where are they at? How can I be there?
I think of my mom's groups are online now. I mean, I think of like my own wife, like she has a whole network of moms groups that she's always on her phone chatting with and talking to. So it's, we are all connected in one way or another. So if 87% of people go to search first, then what is a search engine results page, how they see us is important to understand where and how we have the opportunities to show up when our customers or potential customers are looking for us or for the products and services that we offer. And so the very first, if they go to search first, the first thing they're going to see is what we call a search engine results page, or a SERP. Okay. I mean, if in digital language, it's called a SERP, but it's the page resulting from a search. And every search engine results page on a laptop looks just like this. It all begins right here with a search, and instantly, like within milliseconds, many times, Google and its algorithm searches or pulls up all of the data that is relevant and ranks it in the most relevant to the least relevant manner from top to bottom. So if somebody is searching for water damage restoration, the very first thing people are going to see are these Google guaranteed ads, or another word for them is Google local service ads. They always show up at the top of the searches if it's relevant to the search query. Then they will see the Google Ads section. These are pay-per-click ads. They're distinguished by this little ad symbol that is underneath it. And then the organic listings, or that all of the free or unpaid or editorial type results are shown under the ads. This is where, you know, you as marketers, you as companies are spending time, energy, effort, money in showing up in organic search results when you're doing what's called SEO, search engine optimization. This is where those rankings show up. And then over here on the right hand side will be the Google Business Profile listings. So your information regarding your business shows up in the Google Business Profile listing on the right hand side, and that will show up as most relevant to that search query.
And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is this Google Business Profile, previously Google My Business. So for those of you that have been on here with us for, you know, the last few months, this presentation today, this training today, is different than that last one, because there have been some changes in the Google Business Profile. Not massive changes in what it does or the purpose of it, but in how you access it and use it, some things like that. So if you are used to using Google My Business, now Google Business Profile, there's a few things that have changed in how you're going to interact with it.
It just drives me crazy that I have to learn another abbreviation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, GBP, it's not GMB anymore, right? And that's the thing that's terrible about digital marketing, is we're always have to learn new titles to things, thanks to Google. All right. So This next screen isn't just another little bit of a deep dive into paid search and organic. When used together, when you're using paid search marketing, whether it's paid marketing like Google Ads and or pay-per-click marketing, Google Local Service Ads, what's our pay-per-lead advertising, and in connection with high rankings organically, custom or businesses who use these together see up to an 89% increase in click-through rate. CTR stands for click-through rate, or how many times does your listings get clicked compared to how many times they show up in a search result. So that's why you want to have multiple channels, multiple streams of revenue, so to speak, being put into these different areas so that you're showing up. And because you show up in multiple places, you'll see a enormous 89% is a significant number when it comes to increasing how often you will be found and your listings, your information be clicked on, whether that's your organic listing or your maps or your Google business profile listing, whatever. When you show up, the more often you show up, the more often you will be clicked.
And we'll have weeks where we're in specifically talking about the Google paid and the organic. But I think it's just an overview today for everything. It's important to know that there is really good research on them going together for increased conversions or increased click-through rates. Because it's one of the most common questions we get asked is, hey, if I already have a number one organic ranking, should I run pay-per-click ads? Or if I'm already running Google Local Service Ads, should I also do pay-per-click ads? And the answer is all of the research says that your likelihood increases 89% of getting clicked on one of those, because all of our behaviors are a little bit different. I might click on an ad because it's right at the very top and it's the first thing I see for what I searched. Whereas somebody else might say, hey, I know that's an ad. I'm going to scroll down to the organic, but they're already influenced by seeing you in the ads. So we'll come back more and talk about each of those strategies separately. But the thing we wanted you to really understand is when you first do a search and you land on that search engine results page, there's multiple different places where you have an opportunity to capture somebody, right? And so depending on your goals, your budget, your capacity for new work, all of these different things, that'll determine which strategy you want to use, how aggressive you want to be with them. But these are all the different pieces. The piece we're going to dive into a lot more today, like we said, is this maps listing, this Google business profile that shows up. And you can see it stands out on a SERPs page, on a search engine results page. It's bigger, right? You want your listing to show up when somebody does a search because you get a lot more information and you take a lot more real estate space on that page. So let's figure out how you can do it.
What is Google Business Profile?
Anybody know? Anybody using your Google Business Profile right now that wants to jump in with what you think it is or how you use it?
Nobody. I'm surprised Edgar's hand did not pop up right there.
Okay.
He's like, no.
Terry, go ahead.
It's a way to show potential clients what services you offer and to tell them about your business, to be general.
You're exactly right. And there is so much information you can put in that Google Business Profile to give your customers all of that information. And Google loves it. Like, this is, I don't know, maybe it's because they love it so much that they continue to change it and rename it. And it's, you know, their little baby. And as it grows, they decide it needs a new name or something. But Google loves this section of all of their marketing.
And Sorry, I have a little traffic behind me, you guys. I'm out of office, obviously, today, taking my daughter back to college. So I am at a place that is not ideal right now for this training. I apologize if you hear some backup noise here. But the other thing I was going to say is it's free, right? This is one of the Google services that you can set up, you can optimize, you can push content that is free. So it is, in my opinion, one of the most underutilized tools that we have as marketers to get in front of people. Google will reward you big time. And so everything you're going to learn today is something that you or a member of your team could go implement yourselves. Everything you're going to learn here today is something that is free. Google does not have a charge for. And everything you're going to learn here today is actually one of the most simple things you can do with your marketing. So a lot of big opportunities, I think, when it comes to Google Business Profile.
Excellent. And it's critical to understand that it is Google's local baby. It is super local aimed. And so it's your business profile. It helps you maintain local authority in your market, and which helps you show up in a number of ways in maps and search. These results are tailored to a particular geographic area. So, and from a service-based position where most, if you have a service-based company where you go out to someone's homes and they don't come to a brick and mortar type facility that you have, the Google Business Profile is set up so that you can really target specific geographical areas to help users find you nearby. So.
Great. And if you are somebody that you are servicing a large area and you want to rank maybe in, you want to have some organic ranking show up maybe outside of where your physical building is located, there's some strategies you can use within the Google Business Profile to help you show up for cities outside of where your physical building is located at. All right, Jess, did we miss anything along this to kind of tee up Google Business Profiles right here?
Oh, I think you did a great job covering most of the basics. I'm excited to see where we jump in next.
Okay.
Then let's jump into it. What can you do with your business profile? You can maintain, this is critical. Maintain accurate information, right? And it's important to keep your profile accurate. If you change your business hours, if you change your location, if you change your name, tell Google your hours, your website, your phone number, and your location, street address, so that you can put a place marker and depending on your business.
And we won't be offended right now if any of you are Googling your own business profiles to see what they look like. So do it while we're talking so that you'll know what we're talking about here, and just do a quick glance at your information and see if it looks right on your profile, because it is surprising how often businesses are like, hey, wait a minute, that's my address from 4 years ago before we moved, or, oh wait, that's not the right information. So put quick eyes on it. See if your information looks accurate.
Make sure that your phone number is accurate also. That's a big piece. If they're clicking on your profile and your phone number is not correct, your clients are going somewhere else, or you're confusing them. So
let's talk real quick while we're talking about phone numbers. We are big fans of tracking your calls, right? Of using call tracking metrics. Jess, what would you say is a best practice for your Google Business Profile when it comes to using a call tracking number?
So the best practice is to make sure that your Google Business Profile matches the phone number that's hard-coded on your website. But Google does have an option for you to add a tracking number for ads or sources when you're editing your profile. So it's considered a backup number, but Google will automatically swap it out based on where the person's coming from when they see your listing. So I recommend using the same number you have hard-coded on your website and then adding your tracking number as a backup.
I see Tom has his hand up. You have a question, Tom?
Yeah, there's that thing where you want all your information consistent across all platforms, right? Your address and phone number. There's a name for that, right?
NAP. It's called your NAP. Address and phone number. Name, address, phone number. Yep.
And that's specifically important when it comes to how you show up in business directories, online directories, your website, everything. So that's where it's important, like Jessica said, you want to have your main number hard coded onto your website, and that will match, your name, address, and phone number. But you can use call tracking numbers as a secondary number, or we put them on as scripts so that they dynamically change and they show up. But from the backside, Google sees your main number being as what is hard coded onto things. So
then you can follow Google's rules, right? Have name, address, phone number the same across the board, but you also get the benefit of tracking, because it's really important to know how many calls are coming from that and know what those look like. So Terry, go ahead.
All right, so this is actually great training for me right now. I'm getting ready to split my current company into two separate companies. So my question, I was talking about this at dinner last night with a couple other business owners. For my new business name, so we're going to use the current name we have for one part of the business and then create a whole new name for the other. So, but we're going to use the same address. Do I need to put like a suite A or a number for that new business when I create my Google My Business profile so it doesn't conflict with the current business?
The answer to that used to be yes. And so before I absolutely say yes, Jess, has that changed? Google got really cracked down on addresses there for a while, and they've lifted it quite a bit right this very minute. What is their policy when it comes to that?
Yeah, at this minute, you can use the same address for multiple businesses if they're complex. It used to have a suite. So I would say set up the listing with your standard address. They'll send a postcard or confirm. And if it gets declined with the standard, then you can go with the suite A or B option. But Google will go off of whatever the Postal Service has listed out in their maps. Mm-hmm. And if they don't see that suite exists, they might deny it that way.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Do you have another question, Tom?
I know, the NAP has to be like exact, right? For every time, like to the comma and abbreviation, right? If you're using Inc. or whatever, right?
Like if you're, yes, they do want the NAP to be really very specific. So for example, if the name of your business is, maybe sometimes you call it White Glove and maybe sometimes you call it White Glove Auto and Detailing, right? You need to be consistent in what that looks like every single time you're using it. And so we get in the habit of like referring to our businesses in different ways. When it comes to your digital footprint, when it comes to what it's on your profile and on directories, it needs to be the same. Yes. Very good. Okay. So when it comes to another part that you can do on your profile is interact with your customers. And this is where you start to have the opportunity to take up some real estate space that is valuable. You can post photos of your business and your products or your services or your team on this profile. And those can be updated as often as you want. Mostly what people do is they set up their profile the first time, and they add a couple pictures of their business, like from the outside and maybe the reception area. And then they never add another photo or video again. This is an opportunity to go in and put more information as time goes on. And so I really recommend doing that. The other thing is on your profile, this is where you get reviews and respond to reviews. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, so I won't dive in too much here. But the value of reviews is massive to your business. It's massive for a couple different reasons. Number one, it's another place where we're adding content that Google bots can search and we can rank, right? So it's another place where we're putting in good content that helps us be found. But it's also like so critical to show this social proof. We rely so heavily on social proof. Isn't that crazy? Like I will literally sometimes go look at somebody's profile or Facebook page and see how many likes or reviews they have before I even decide who to call. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the person with the most reviews is the best. Yet, in my mind, in a consumer's mind, it has an impact. And so this is a really, really important piece that we need to put some effort into.
That's awesome. Yep, exactly. And then when we talk, and we talked a little bit about this with Tom, but yeah, you can improve your local organic rankings to make sure that your business information is accurate, it's complete, and it's engaging. So, and we'll talk a little bit about a little bit in a few slides from now, but using that posting feature and being able to post things to your Google business profile is a fantastic way to improve your local organic rankings. So now we're going to kind of get into the basics, right? Of, you know, we've talked a lot about what it is. So, you know, and many of you already have your Google business profile claimed and verified. And if you do, kudos to you. We'll talk more about how to make that better in a few minutes. But if you haven't, and specifically Terry, where you're going to break apart and do this into two different businesses, you're going to have to start a new listing. Some of this information will be super helpful to you on how to claim and verify your business. So,
and it is different. It is different today than it was a year ago. So,
yeah. Awesome. And do you want to talk about this, Katie?
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is what you're going to do. There's some instructions here. Jess has some other resources. If this is new to you and you want more resources, just go ahead and put your name or email in the chat and we will send more information over to you. But if you're claiming a listing for the very first time or setting up a new listing, you're going to now do it through your Google Maps app. It used to be there was an app that was called Google My Business, and that's where we did everything out of. Google has now consolidated it, and we do it all through the Google Maps app. And that's the same map that you use all the time for directions and stuff. So search for your business and click claim the business, and then just follow the steps for verification. Or there is a place in there to add a new business, and that's how you'll go about doing that.
That's specifically to you, Terry, because you likely won't find your new business there because you're just creating it, right? So you'll be able to create a new listing from there.
And then once you're actually there and you're doing it, it is really simple, right? It walks you through. I mean, you're putting in your business name, you're putting in your phone number. Be mindful of the exact business name, like we've already talked about, and some things like that. But it's not like it's going to take you 3 days to set up, right? And going to cause you all kinds of headache. It is really one of the simplest, just a couple steps to go through and do it. You will, for a new listing, if you are claiming it or verifying it for the first time, Google, this is so ironic to me, but Google uses the most old school way to verify a business possible. And they will send you a postcard in the mail that totally looks like junk mail.
Junk mail.
It looks like junk mail, and it's so easy to just throw it away. But when you're verifying a new listing, you will get a postcard from Google in the mail that will have a PIN number on it. And you will need to put that PIN number in to finalize the verification. So
it's funny you said that, Katie, because like that has been that way for years. Like I always wonder, like eventually Google, the king of search, is going to make this.
You can request a call from them. You can request it, but usually just get your postcard, and it's pretty simple to go through and do it. So here's some steps. If you need to claim a business, this is what you're going to do to go through and do it. So not terribly complicated, but critically, critically important to do. Okay, if you are a single location business, then, and this is what most of you are, right? This is what you're going to do. So you're going to just manage it directly from the Google search results page. or the Google Maps app. So if you're on a desktop, you're just going to put in your business location, you're going to go to the maps, and you're going to load, and you're going to be able to manage it all from there. And when I say manage, what I mean is this is where you're going to post things, this is where you're going to add pictures, this is where you're going to reply to reviews, this is where you're going to edit any of your information, is just exactly through this maps listing. And you'll do it, I don't know if there's another slide, so I'll just say it here, but if you're in your app, oh, there we go. Here we go. Navigating the Google Maps app. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to go into your Google Maps, right? And you're going to make sure that you're logged into the account that has access to your listing. So for me, I have multiple Google accounts. I've got to make sure that I'm logged into my Spot On Solutions when I want to go in here and do this. And then you're going to click on the profile icon. And that profile icon is what's going to give you access to the main menu. And then you're going to see your business profiles. So go ahead and play that little video there, Derek. And then you'll see, so you go to your map, make sure you're logged in, go to your icon, and that'll take you to the business listing. Most of you will only have one business listing here in this map. So you don't need to do anything, but just go right there. And then now you're in and you can start doing all of the things that you need to do to run your map listing, your profile listing. Make sense?
Hey, that made sense to me. Nice job, Katie and Jess.
Jess made us the video because I was like, we need a video to show it. There's like just these little steps that you've got to get right to go to it. So there you go. Any questions to this point on getting to your profile or verifying it? Good?
I saw Terry shake his head.
Okay.
And very good. He is our litmus test. If Terry shakes his head, everybody else is on board as well too. So, all right, rock and roll. Go on?
Go on.
Okay.
Now, if you want to make it more complicated and you have multi-location businesses, right, Terry, this is going to be you, then still going to pretty much do it the same thing, but there's just a couple of little differences here. So you're still going to manage it from this dashboard. When you get into there, you'll just see businesses and you'll toggle between which one you want to go into and manage. So that's all. The only difference you're really going to see is you're going to toggle between which businesses to manage the different profiles.
So this may be a little more in depth, but I'm going to ask Jessica for her opinion on or some verification on this. But if you're running multiple business profiles, and this is something that I've noticed that, you know, businesses have tried to get a more of a reach in their market by potentially getting, you know, some UPS boxes or a different address in different cities, different parts of the town, and so that they can show up more locally in those areas. And so they do that, and then they create all these other new business profiles. Then I've noticed in the past where they've had a hard time potentially getting them verified, or what happens if they get, well, number one, do they run the risk of being suspended? And if they are suspended, will they suspend multiple listings at the same time? Or why do they get suspended, Jess?
Well, Google values honesty and on authenticity. So when you're creating these listings and these locations don't exist, or the location you give them is like a home, eventually they may find out. And when they do, they're really going to crack down on it. And they may, what's the word I'm looking for? They may ban.
Suspend.
They may suspend multiple listings if they can attach the listings to the same business. So the best rule of thumb is just be honest with your listings. If you're really good at responding to reviews, getting reviews, keeping your listing active, your location won't be as significant in the map packs. You may be able to outrank competitors that are closer to the user searching if you're showing Google that they can trust your company, that their customers are sending to you can trust you.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Jess, appreciate that. So let's dive a little bit deeper in how to optimize our business profile. In these next few slides, we're gonna talk specifically about some steps that you can take to make sure that your business profile is accurate, that you'll be able to pay attention to your reviews, show you how to add photos. Katie's talked a little bit about why those photos are so important, how to create posts. I think this oftentimes becomes, there's a little bit of confusion on the difference between posts and pictures and those things. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then how to add content like questions and answers, and why that's important specifically to search. So let's talk about the basics. So in your Google business profile, obviously you want to make sure we talked about this, that your customers call the right phone number. If you don't have a physical place of business for your customers to come and come through your door, make sure that your service area is accurate and correct. Make sure that your company name is correct. This goes right back to what we talked about with Tom and your name, address, and phone number. You want your name, address, and phone number to show up consistently across all digital platforms. So make sure that your name is the same here as it is on your website. Make sure it's the same as it is in your Chamber of Commerce. Make sure it's the same as it is on your Yelp listing. Whatever, make sure that your name is accurate. And if you change your name, this will probably trigger with Google the re-verification process. So if you change your name, they will probably send another one of those postcards so that you can, when you get that, put in that verification code, so that it will re-verify your listing. So, and then obviously make sure that your customers are being sent to the correct website. That we definitely want to give them the best and most accurate information. Set ourselves up for the best chances of success. Anything to add to that, Katie?
Jess? Nope. Nope. Right. I say we can kind of cruise through some of this stuff so that we leave some time for questions here. But when you're setting up your profile, right, or even just as a check right now for yourselves, you're going to choose a primary category that describes your business as a whole. And so this isn't a category that you can just randomly select, but you're going to choose from a drop down. And so double check your category and make sure that what you have is what you want.
Yep. Oops. We talked a little bit about this, and
you love reviews, Derek.
What?
You love talking about reviews.
Well, and so much so that we will discuss reviews in depth in another weekly training. But reviews are critical. Katie touched on this about how much reviews influence her decisions to decide who to use. They influence the decisions of your customers as well too. So when someone reviews your business on Google Maps, you'll receive a notification from Google and the opportunity to reply to that review. Make sure that you're replying to every single review, whether they are positive or negative. Make sure that when you reply to those reviews, it's quite literally your opportunity to add content about your business to the internet, and so do so very strategically. Use obviously be genuine, be professional, be gracious, and show gratitude. But also be smart. Use keywords that can help your organic rankings and be found as relevant in searches. So reviews, encourage your customers to leave your reviews and then answer them. Questions? Oh, look, Terry, your hand is raised.
So obviously with the split, the new company is going to start at zero, but we're providing the same service. One of the services we were providing with the other company. So my thinking is I'm going to do a video to send out to the current clients that we service it for house cleaning and say, could you please leave us a review? Tell them what we're doing. We're rebranding, starting with a new name. Could you please leave us a review? How spread out should I do that so that I'm not getting, 100 reviews in a span of a week? Should I chunk that and send it to a group of customers at a time so that I'm not getting a ton and Google kind of put up the red flag saying something's wrong here?
That's a great question. I have an answer, but I think Jessica would have a better answer than me.
All right. Katie, did you want to jump in?
And Jess, you can follow up with this. I would chunk it, Terry, for a couple of reasons. I would chunk it, number one, so that you don't flag anything. If they're looking like they're from your area and they look like, legitimate people, you're not going to have as much of a problem with that as Google used to flag it. If it's international traffic, you're going to get in trouble. But if it's like, it looks like your area, you would be okay to send it in bulk. The reason I would chunk it is because I would want to give myself an opportunity to reply to all of those. Right. And if you have 100 coming in a day, that's going to be really overwhelming to you or someone in your office to do that in a timely way. But if you chunk it, you can put genuine, thoughtful, smart replies in all of those reviews and get the biggest bang for your buck or biggest bang for your time.
Thank you.
And make it super easy for them to leave the review. Like, I love the idea that you're going to record a video, explain to people what you're doing. You're likely going to send that out via email or potentially through a text message, which is fantastic. But make sure that you include as part of that something, a super easy way for them to actually connect with you. So whether that's, including a link to your review, page, maybe it's a QR code that takes them there, whatever it is, make sure that you make it easy for them to just with a click or a camera scan or whatever to get to your profile page and leave you those reviews. So,
and we do, like, we search for a long time on the best way to send out reviews, and we have a third party provider that we work with. If you want more information on them, reach out and we'll send that information over to you. It makes it so that you can manage all those reviews from a dashboard, and you can assign different people in your office to do it. It also allows like technicians or house cleaners or different people to send out the text requests for reviews. And so there are some easy ways to manage that. We've found that pretty much across the board, sending out a text request for a review gets a better reply than sending out an email asking for a review. When the request comes from somebody they know, like the person that cleans their house that they know regularly, or the technician that's been in the home working, or the doctor that they've been seeing, when the text comes from the person they've had direct interactions with, then the likelihood of getting the review also increases.
The reason I think we love using text messaging the best is because simply because of the open rates, right? I mean, the open rate from a text message is, most people who receive a text message are going to open it, as opposed to those emails that you're going to send out. The open rate to those reduces significantly down to, 20-25% of people that you send them will even open them. So you have a lot more follow-up that you'd have to do with an email type campaign.
Tom, you have a question?
Tom, He has a question, but he can't remember it just right now. So
sorry, Tom, it took us a minute to get to you there. Apologize for that. If you think about it, jump on in here. Okay, add photos. We talked about this a little bit in the beginning. We add exterior photos. If somebody's coming to you, you want them to be able to know what you look like. But also interior photos, add team photos. If you're on jobs, add those. Whatever, if you're hosting like a golf tournament or you're at a chamber event or anything like that, that shows you're interacting with the community or highlights your staff or your office. Those are good video, those are good photos to add. I would actually, if you have a profile that's up and active and you've had it for a while, I would just calendar in for either you or somebody in your office to once a month, go in and add a couple new photos or videos. Hey, what did we do this month? What do we have photos of? What can we get added? And then you might want to really focus on if you're trying to rank in like surrounding areas that aren't where your physical location are, I would focus on adding those photos and I would geotag them, right? So say like you have a service area that's maybe 30 minutes away from you. You would really like to have increased rankings there. Try to get reviews in that area, referencing that area specifically, or add photos from that area. And then you can tag them, you can geotag them where you're at. That's a great signal to Google. Hey, we service this area, we're here in this area, and that can help you get some increased rankings in areas that maybe are just surrounding your main location.
Great.
Okay, posts, we talked about these. These do not have to be like 1500 word big blog post articles, right? They don't even need to be 500 words. These can be short little snippets of information that highlight your office, your services, your providers, anything like that. They're a great place to put tips. Maybe you have weather tips that are pertinent to your clientele or seasonal tips, service tips. Anything like that where you can add updates, this is the place where you want to do it. Now, the thing about posts is this is one of the things Google did. Google's always told us they value current and relevant content, right? This is why we have blogs for our websites. Google likes to see current and relevant content. Well, on your Google profile, these posts will expire after 7 days. So they're going to force us to have current and relevant content, right? And the posts are going to go away after 7 days. However, Google is going to continue to reward you for those efforts of putting current and relevant content. So every 7 days, you have an opportunity to stand out from your competition with posting good content on your profile. And this is simple content, right? This is stuff that you could spout off the top of your head in 30 seconds, highlighting one of your services or something like that. Okay, probably the most underutilized, and I know we're guilty of this and have like an internal thing right now to focus on it, is adding Q&As to your profile. There's a spot right in there in the setup where it says Q&A, right? And so if you have like a frequently asked question on your website, man, go pull those off your website and copy and paste them into your profile. If you have questions that somebody, they ask every single time you answer the phone, it's a common question, make it a question in here using good keywords and put good answers using good keywords. It's one more place where you get to put some really key content that Google's gonna reward you for.
That's awesome. All right, well, that concludes the information about business, your Google business profile.